It's a great day to be alive, is it not?
Amen.
This is the day the Lord has made. See, God didn't give me a day in 1958, and he has not promised me a day in 2058, but he did give me this day, January 21st, 2018, and I'm rejoicing and glad. Anybody else rejoicing and glad with me today? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Greeting, Highland Heights family. It's been a long time, but here I am. This is marks a very special moment for me because it was December 31st, 2007, that I stood in this very spot and preached my very first sermon. So it's been 10 years. 10 years. Amen. It's been a long time. I preached a lot of sermons. I preached a sermon in the dark one time. I did. I told the audience, I said, y'all need to say amen so I know y'all ain't got up and left. Brooks, send me some places, man. Go down there to the third pine tree, turn right. There's going to be a guy down there with a flashlight. When he blinked three times, he's going to take you to the rest of the way. I told that story in front of Brother Brooks' mother once. And she said to me, she said, he must be doing something right because y'all keep following him. Sent chills through my body, man. I'm a grown man. That little woman, she's sick in a wheelchair. She said that. Sent chills through my body. I don't get nervous about many things. People ask me, are you ready? The only time I've ever been nervous when I stood up to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ was the first time I did it, and once in Huntsville, Texas. Brooks came in about midway my sermon, and I was not expecting him. He's somebody I have a great deal of respect for. And I don't preach in front of him very often, so it just shook me completely up. And I talked to Greg Carr after, and I said, Greg, man, why y'all come up here? He said, man, we'd have been here earlier, but Brooks couldn't shoot no deer. I told him, I'm going to go down there and tie one up for you to shoot, man. I got to go to church. I try to speak a little bit to get my comfort zone here, so y'all bear with me. I extend a special welcome to those who are here and not part of our Highland Heights family. We want to be completely transparent. At least a part of what we're doing here today is to make you a member of God's family.
Amen.
To do that, we're going to speak where the Bible speaks, be silent where the Bible is silent. Call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things in Bible ways. Amen?
Amen.
We believe that salvation is obtained through the preaching of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then if your mouth will confess what your heart has been made to believe, we're going to baptize you in water. Mark 16:15-16. And the Lord will add you to his church. Acts 2:47. The one church. The only one you read about in the Bible. The only one I've ever heard preach from this pulpit. The only one I will ever preach about and the only one I've ever been a member of. The Church of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to spend a few minutes with you on he that judges me is the Lord. I'm going to try to take my 45-minute sermon mind and press it into my 15-minute body. Brother Oles, I'm going to give them some context. This was written by Paul and at least a great portion of the first letter to the church at Corinth was transcribed to Sosthenes. It was written on his third missionary trip when he was in the mega city of Ephesus. Corinth had been established on his second missionary journey, and he had spent more time at Corinth than he did anywhere else. He spent over a year and a half there building that congregation. But they were having some problems at Corinth with the leadership there. They were divided about who they should follow. Some said they were of Paul's leadership. Some said they were of Apollos' leadership. Some were of Cephas' leadership or Peter's leadership. They had some problems at the church in Corinth. I'm always happy when I go and preach somewhere and I get to stand there and say, I'm happy to report the Church of Christ at Highland Heights is at peace. And I can say that this morning. The Church of Christ at Highland Heights is at peace. Yeah. But this church wasn't. They were suing one another left and right in the courts. they had some problems going on. And they wrote a letter to Paul asking him, as the founder of that congregation, to respond so that they would know how to move forward and to save the church from being split. Let's start at verse number one, Brother Oles.
Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God.
Paul said, let us be accountable. Let your account of what you tell people about us be that we preach Christ. We are accountable or stewards for the mysteries of God. My accountabilities as a preacher started here at Highland Heights, and the first person to hold me accountable for anything, the first time I ever in my church life was ever held accountable other than to my mother for attending worship services was Brother Winfrey. I come in one Sunday night, hadn't been in about a month. Brother Winfrey said, come here, brother. I said, okay. I walked over right there where my brother sitting. He said, give an account of yourself. I said, well, brother, I work. And I said, that's why I'm not here in the mornings. That's why you don't see me. He said, okay. So about a couple weeks later, I was sharing that story with Chris Ward. He said, don't feel special. He treats you the same as everybody else. That was my first accountability of attendance in my Christian life. Now, my accountability to the content of my sermons was held by Brother Hugh Premiles, who sat there where Brother Tim was sitting. Every time I come out of the pulpit, he'd tell me, well, how do you feel, brother? Did you feel like you did a good job? I said, well, you know, I did the best I could, brother. He said, it's all right. If you preach good, it's all right to say you preach good. Just stay in the bottom of the ship. That was my accountability. That was my accountability. I knew that if I said something that was contrary to the word of God, that I knew Brother Upree was going to get me straight. I had a difficult time. I tried to research and find out who the writer of Hebrews was, and I wanted to say it was Paul, and he gave me the term that I now use is the Hebrew writer. He said, we don't know who wrote it, so I just say the Hebrew writer. So that's what I used. That was my accountability. You understand? Paul establishes here where his comments lie and the accountability. I'm sorry, he establishes where his commitments lie and his accountability for that commitment. See, a lot of preachers in denominationalism, they hold them up high. They want to make them be almost godlike. When they walk into the room, you hear harps playing, angels singing. They got special adornments on. They got the nice robe. Sometimes I feel like if they pass gas when you're walking by, it smells like a whole hillside of marigolds and daffodils. But I've been in enough room with preachers to know that ain't true. I'm just giving it to you like I got it. I can't preach like Brooks, but his mother gave me one of the best compliments I've ever had. She said, I can see a lot of Brooks in you. That was one of the nicest things anyone has ever said to me. Read verse 2, brother.
Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
What is faithful? What is faithful? Is it attendance? Is it attending worship? The man that was sleeping with his stepmother at Corinth, does it matter if he attended worship every Sunday night? Does that make him faithful? I'm just asking, you know. Jeffrey Dahmer was a member of the church. They found ankles and elbows, I'm sure some knees and probably shoulder in his freezer. If he was at the church house every time the doors open, does that make him faithful? I'm just asking. The word faithful here, brother, get for me Matthew chapter 7. We're going to about verse 15. Matthew 7, verse number 15. The word faithful, as Paul is using it here in Corinth, means trustworthy or accountable. Yeah. So he says, we are required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So how are you going to know if he's faithful? Read for me, brother, if you got that.
Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits.
You should know a faithful man by his fruit. Keep reading.
Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit.
It bringeth forth good fruit. A faithful man, a faithful woman, you'll know her by her fruit. Yeah. You're not going to go out there and pick the thorns. You're going to pick the good fruit. Now, I know that there is a certain level of accountability found in attendance. It would be ignorant of me to stand here and say that it's not. But I will submit to you now and forevermore that that is not the best indicator of faithfulness. Because you don't know what nobody's going through. You don't know what their life is and why you haven't seen them. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Keep on reading, brother.
But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit.
Read.
A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit.
A good tree can't bring forth what?
Good fruit.
Say again. A good tree
cannot bring forth evil fruit.
Can't bring forth evil fruit. That's good right there. Go back over there to 1 Corinthians for me. Some might argue, well, if you can't trust a man to come to church, well. But I ask you this morning, or this afternoon, I say, if you have not been to that person's home, if you have not placed one phone call, if you have not sent a text, if you haven't sent an email or even a home invitation to check on your brother, are you faithful? I'm just asking. Here at Highland Heights, we have alms ministries, saving the lost, tracking the saved. That's the way the family is accountable here, faithful. Relationship building is another. When you have a relationship with someone, you can give an account for their faithfulness from your perspective. But what does Paul say about your perspective in verse 3, Brother O?
But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self.
It's not important what you think about me, Paul said. It don't matter to me. I don't worry about that. I don't worry about what the world thinks of me. In fact, I don't even sit in judgment of myself. Let me share with you. Some people stand here and preach because they want to say something. And some people stand here and preach because they got something to say. I like to think I got something to say. I got something on my heart that makes it special. And it's a story how a Savior came from glory, hung on a tree for 6 long hours, buried in a borrowed tomb, and rose again on the 3rd day, proving he was the Son of God. I preach not because I want to, but because I have to. Now, that's a unique statement. A lot of people don't get that. Preachers, young preachers, those who aspire to be preachers, you got to understand that. Sitting and not preaching, Jeremiah said it was like a fire shut up in his bones. Is that what he said, preacher? Yeah. When I sit over there and listen to other people preach or other people deliver sermons or I go other places and hear sermons, it's extremely difficult for me. That's tough for me. So when I was asked to stop preaching several years ago, that was as if someone had shot me. That was extremely difficult. So this day will go down as a particular honor for me, because in those 10 years that I've preached, I've never asked anybody for a pulpit. I've never asked anybody for a microphone. And my preacher said, son, I want you to deliver for me on the 21st, on Sunday night. I want you to come bring a message, and that was one of the biggest honors anybody's ever given me, and I thank him for that, Brother Brooks. That's an honor for me. So, you know, when a man gives his pulpit, that's like letting you borrow his car, something like that. That's all right. Paul says he don't even sit in judgment of himself. Why, Paul? Verse 4, read it.
For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord.
Paul says, my conscience is clear. I know nothing of myself. My conscience is clear. Because it's clear doesn't make me justified, though. It doesn't make me righteous. He says, I would have commitment without accountability. It don't matter what the members of the church think. Don't worry about the messenger. You have missed the whole message worrying about who delivered it. Yeah, it don't matter what the world thinks. If I step outside these doors and people don't think I'm a preacher, don't bother me none. Because when you talk to me, you're going to find out what I believe. Because I don't know anything else. I don't know anything else. I was baptized at 6 years old at Fifth Ward Church of Christ. I don't know nothing else but the Church of Christ. And I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be right here. He said, even my own opinion has little value. He said, the only one that can judge me is the Lord. Yeah, that's what he said. He said it before Tupac said it. Only God can judge me. Am I right about it? Yeah. Y'all thought Tupac came over there, didn't you? Uh-huh. The only level of accountability that matters is the judgment of God.
Amen.
People walk in and out of these doors 2, 3, 4 times a week shouting, commitment to the king in 2018. Their conscience is clear. The members see him as faithful. The world sees him as fine, upstanding Christian folk. But what does God see? I'm just asking. What God sees. He sees you ain't signed up for alms ministry. He sees that you have not made a public confession in a decade. Uh-oh, you're meddling now, Kirby. But I'm going to tell you the truth about it. If you've heard the gospel preached here for 10 years, there ain't nothing pricked your heart enough for you to stand up and say, Lord, I've sinned. I'm telling you what your sin is right now. It's denial. You're in denial because all have sinned and fallen short according to this book. I'm just telling you what I believe to be the truth, and I know that God loves that. Yeah, my wife hated when I say, well, I'll tell you what God loves the truth. Will you stop saying that? No. Because God still loves the truth.
Amen.
Yeah. He sees you ain't done nothing to reach out to the lost. You ain't brought nobody from work. You ain't brought now one of your neighbors. You ain't brought your mechanic. Ain't nobody come through the door with you. He sees that you don't check on members that you know, but you ain't seen in a while. God's looking. And remember, that's the judgment that we're all accountable to. I'm just telling you what God loves the truth.
Amen.
Yeah, so you're getting quiet now, Brother Brooklyn. But if you didn't want the truth, you shouldn't have got me. He sees you speak and hug folks. You don't have a real relationship with him beyond that. Nobody else in the body you ain't got no relationship with. That's what God sees. You've agreed to the obligation. You've made the commitment, but where is your accountability? Whom are you accountable to? We've all adopted our theme, commitment to the king in 2018. But for this campaign to be a success, you're going to need some accountability to the king in 2018. I encourage everyone to be as the Apostle Paul was. Don't worry about what Christians see, do, or think. Don't worry about what the world sees, does, or thinks. If you line up with what God says do and what God says think, you don't even have to worry much about your own thoughts. Read on, brother.
Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God.
Don't be so quick to render judgment. Wait on the Lord. He gonna handle that. You worry about the wrong thing. Bro, look, when you drive a truck, when you take your test, they got a thing they grade your own call lane integrity. Maintain your lane integrity. Don't worry about the thing God gonna judge. Worry about getting yourself to God. Now, I'm just telling you what the Bible say. If you don't like it, not my problem. I'm not here to give you what you want. I'm here to give you what God says you need.
Amen.
Yeah. Wait on the Lord. He'll handle that. He going to bring everything to light. All the hidden things, all the things done in the dark are going to come to the light. Even your thoughts are going to be examined. Mm-hmm. And that's when each of us will receive our praise from God. And it's all of our hope that is well done, my good and faithful servant. Verse 6, as I hasten to my close.
And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of man above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another.
I use myself and Apollos as example, Paul said. The lesson I want you to learn is don't go above and beyond that which is written. When you won't become, that way you won't become boastful about being a follower of this one or that one. He said, only go by what is written. As we've read, you ought to have a commitment, and you ought to have an accountability to the Lord. In his arms ministry, and as our commitment to the King in 2018, I'll give you the formula for unlimited success. Commitment plus accountability. That's your formula. It's not difficult, and it's not complicated. Now, as I close, I want to turn my attention to those who may not be members of the church. As a young man, one of the first things I learned is there's 5 steps to your salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. First, you got to hear somebody tell you the story of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter says in Acts chapter 15, verse number 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So first you got to hear it before you can believe it. Once you believe it, the Bible says you must repent. Now, what is that repentance thing? It means you got to change some things in your life that don't line up with the word of God. That's not complicated either to understand, but it is a bit more challenging to do. But that's why you come here, because you're not perfect. You keep coming. You keep coming. And how does my preacher used to tell me when I first started, he said, you don't come because you're sinless, but you keep coming and you're seeing less and less and less. Boy, that's a good way to put that, ain't it?
Yes,
I like
sir.
That.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Then, after you've repented, you'll be asked to make a confession. Now, I'm not going to ask you, and neither is the brother that takes your confession, about all your sins. That's not the confession of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, Philip said, if you believe it with all of your heart, then you may. And the eunuch answered with the same confession we're going to ask you to make today. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, we're not going to wait 2 weeks. We're not going to wait till the first Sunday. We're not going to wait till we get a bunch of you. We got some water right back here. We got clothes that's ready. And I always am bashful about saying that, because I preached one time in a place, man, and I backed up. I said, the water's ready. The clothes is ready. And I looked back there, there was a ladder in there. It wasn't a drop of water. It's the truth. It's the truth. Man, out of preaching the place, Brooks and Sidney, man. Yeah. You want another example of being baptized, and you know, to somebody baptized with the Spirit. And listen, in Acts 22 and verse 16, he says, arise, why tarriest thou? Arise. Arise. And be baptized. And wash. 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 Near as I can tell, washing requires water. Amen. Brooks, you want to sit next to a man been bathed in the Spirit? Shoot, ain't enough cologne for that. You be debating too long. I'm just telling y'all what I believe. Water is required. You don't step into this pool seeing the blood of Christ, but you do it believing that it's there. That's called faith. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Then God's going to do his part. He's going to add you to that one church I spoke about earlier. Acts 2 and 47 says, praising God, having favor with all the people. The Lord, the same one that's going to judge you, added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. If there's somebody here this evening that's not a member of the Church of Christ, you've heard the word preached. I'm asking you, do you believe it? I'm asking, do you believe it? If you do, I'm going to ask you to come down front. Make that confession that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Lord will add you to his church. Don't worry about where you are in your life. Don't worry about that things aren't perfect. Don't worry about, I got to get a few things right. If you could get it right, it wasn't no need for Christ to die.
Amen.
You need him.
Amen.
Yeah. So if you are subject to the Savior's invitation, if you're here today, you need to make a confession. This is the time we set aside for that. Brother Gulick, as we stand and sing the song of invitation.